Hi, and welcome to our first episode of the Shades of Tea podcast.
A platform where we amplify the voices, cultures, and experiences of our underrepresented students.
This episode is an introductory one. It's basically just a chance to get to know us as your hosts and also get a bit of a taster for what's to come in future episodes.
Yeah, so we are your presenters. My name is Bethany. I am studying architecture. I'm in the first year of my master's. I'm just interested in creative things. I always say that I love music, I love arts, I don't know, sports, even though I don't play sports, but I still just like activity and exercising and things like that. But yeah, do you want to introduce yourself, Owl?
I'm Owl. I'm also an architecture student, but I'm in my third year. Similar to Bethany, my interests are also quite creative, art based. I like films. Yeah, I'm a big film nerd. It's always a hard one because I feel like I'm interested in a lot of stuff, but whenever people ask what my interests are, I can't think of many. I'll leave it there.
I'm Tamara and I'm doing my master's in creative advertising strategy. Similar to Bethany, I'm interested in a lot of creative things, mostly music, although I'm not actually musical myself. And film as well, the same as our, just kind of everything and anything creative, really.
Yeah, I guess we're the same creative bunch we are. So we form part of the BAME Ambassadors team at MMU, and we created this podcast to create a safe space to share experiences, opinions, and ideas on various topics, and to give you, the listeners, the opportunity to ask questions that you may feel uncomfortable asking. We'll also be having discussion into some key current issues that BAME students are facing right now. But we thought it'd be good to just let you know why we actually wanted to join the BAME Ambassador scheme. So who wants to go first?
I don't mind going first. I heard about this scheme and instantly knew it was something I'd want to partake in. Simply because when I first came uni, I think Bethany can relate, I think just the field of architecture in general, it tends to be very white, to put it as blunt as possible. And yeah, there wasn't many people that looked like me. And it's funny because obviously I've been in education before uni and stuff like that, but it wasn't until after uni that I started to actually like want to see people who look like me for some reason, because I don't come from a really like ethnically diverse town anyway. But it does actually affect your education in like little hidden ways that people wouldn't really realize. But when I knew that there was an opportunity to like make sure that other people don't experience that, I wanted to take it.
I guess it was a similar thing with me. I don't even know how I ended up finding the job, because it's my first year right now. So for some reason, I decided to check my emails before the semester started, and I saw it advertised. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is something I'd actually like to do. Something I'm genuinely interested in. It's not like a job where you just apply because, I don't know, you want money or something. I was like, oh my gosh, I could actually see myself doing this role. And I guess it's a similar thing with you. Just when I studied my undergrad in Oxford Brookes, there were not many black people at all. I remember first year you would just kind of like make intense eye contact with anyone of color.
I looked around the lecture hall. I remember counting till this day. It's so weird because we get put into smaller groups instantly, so I don't know majority of people in my year, but I can tell you how many black people there are. I don't even know their names, but I will recognize their faces simply because not many at all.
And then you don't even realize how much of a big thing it can be just to see other people like you and how much that can impact you. So yeah, this is definitely something I wanted to do and make people feel like they have a place in the university and they're welcome here. Why I chose to be a BAME ambassador.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree, like for the same reasons of both you guys. And I was kind of the same as you, Bethany. Like I was new to the university completely and new to the city. And I remember seeing it advertised, and especially with everything that's going on at the start of the year, I was like, I would actually like a job that's kind of relevant in something that I'm actually interested in. And I kind of wanted a job that would involve, you know, other students who were kind of in a similar position to me. As like, you know, both of you guys said, it's hard when you're like the only person in your class that looks like you. It's really intimidating. So I think it's a really good scheme to kind of get people involved with people like them and create that safe space.
No, I agree.
Amazing. So that's why we joined. And now we kind of just want to give you listeners an opportunity to get to know us on a more personal level. So we're just going to tell you a bit about ourselves I guess we'll start with where we were born, where we grew up, and our ethnicity. Let's start with Tamara.
So I'm from Scotland. I was born in a town called Elgin. It's literally at the very like northeast. Probably nobody's heard of it. And I'm part Scottish, part Jamaican on my dad's side, and Scottish on my mum's side. So I was pretty much grew up surrounded by, well, Scottish people and white people. There wasn't a lot of diversity where I was from because it was a small town. But I mean, I think that kind of just added to my love for the Jamaican side of my family and an appreciation for it. Yeah, it was an interesting experience. I think I missed out a lot when I was younger anyway, which is why I do make much more of an effort now to meet people of different backgrounds and kind of experience things that way.
Do you feel like it comes naturally then? Yeah. Simply because a lot of people are, their personalities are formed by their surroundings, isn't it? So you weren't surrounded by many people who look like you. So when you first started, is it something you kind of actively want to do? Or was it the kind of thing where...
Yeah, I was kind of just drawn to you know, people of different backgrounds because it interested me.
Mm. I get that. No, it's similar for me as well. So I was born in Norway, and I was born in a small town there as well. Yeah, you know, a lot of people who've known me for years find out, because it's not the kind of thing that naturally comes up in conversation, because I pretty much grew up here. I moved here when I was almost 5 years old, started all my education here. So I don't really identify with Norway at all. Like, I have a passport, but that's just about it. But yeah, no, I do sometimes think about what it would have been like if I grew up there instead, and I know it would have been a lot. Because even though the UK does have issues with minorities, and that you're never going to be the majority, are you? But in Norway, it's a lot more difficult to fit in. You've got to really conform to their norm. Whereas I think the UK is a lot more tolerant. I have to give it to this country. They're a lot more tolerant, and like, you're like more of an individual. Yeah, so I grew up here, Milton Keynes, and that's not the most diverse town, but it's definitely a step up from Norway. My ethnicity, my background, Somali, both parents. So yeah. But you know, I did go to majority white schools and stuff like that, but I think you're still very aware of what your background is. I didn't have any identity issues, even though people around me didn't necessarily look like me. It was something that you'd kind of naturally crave, though. You do kind of want to look around and see people who look like you, and people don't have to necessarily explain your culture to people, explain your, do you know what I mean, your home life to people. Uni is definitely a much bigger place, so naturally you do tend to come across people all different types of backgrounds.
It's a great opportunity to as well.
Yeah, definitely. For me, I don't think my background's as interesting as you guys. I'm from Nottingham, so it's actually quite a mixed and diverse place. So I've kind of been used to growing up around different people from different cultures and different backgrounds. I think it was when I did my undergrad, that's when I was like, oh wow, other parts of England don't have this many people of colour. So that was a shock for me. But in terms of ethnicity, I am like Tamara. So while she was saying, every time she said Jamaican, there was just me with my two fingers up, like, no, no, no. So yeah, I'm Jamaican. Although my parents were both born in the UK, they're both Jamaican. It was my grandparents that were born in Jamaica. But I fully take on my Jamaican heritage, and definitely something I'm proud about. And I enjoy everything from it. So speaking of that, what is your favourite thing about your heritage, your ethnicity, your country of origin, and your culture?
Mine would definitely have to be the music and the food, actually, some kind of combination of both. Just that the atmosphere of like the Jamaican food and music, it's just like something I grew up with.
I think Jamaican food is always something that it's very much loved by all people, I think. But you know, funny enough, it's one of those cuisines that I've not really delved into.
Girl, you should try.
Hate me. I was gonna say there's certain foods that I've never tasted, but everything that I have tasted that's been Jamaican is very nice. So I've had jerk chicken. I've had, well, to be honest, plantain isn't really just, it's more Caribbean, isn't it? Not just Jamaican. I like that. But I don't know. Like, I haven't had. Is it ackee and saltfish?
I've got some in my fridge.
Yeah, I haven't had that. What are your favourite dishes from Jamaica? I'll take notes.
Oxtail.
Yeah.
Recently, I literally did a poll on my Instagram story out of oxtail and curry goat. I was really disappointed because more people picked curry goat. I think it was like 52%, and then 48 picked oxtail. But hands down, oxtail is just one of my favourite dishes.
I think I would have picked oxtail out of the two.
Yeah.
Is it like an acquired taste kind of thing? Because I've always wondered, what the flavor would be like. No,
it's not even. It's nice. I think it's just what you'd prefer, whether you'd want something curry flavored or something. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know how to explain the flavor, but it's not curry. It's like a stew, but it's a bit sweeter.
I'm going to have to try it all, Mongo, and get back to you on that. But yeah, no, my favorite thing about, I think most people would say food, wouldn't they? When they're asked what mine is Somali food. It's interesting, like it's loads of different, it's like Italian slash Indian slash Arab influence. I can't really tell you exactly what it tastes like. You just have to taste it. And it's really rice based and meat based, but it's just made so well.
What's your favorite Somali dish?
I don't know. It'd have to be Somali rice. Rice and meat. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard when people say that Somalis have banana.
Yeah, I think I have.
Yeah, no, I'd recommend that as well. It tastes really nice. It actually works. I'm usually that kind of person who doesn't like mixing flavours, but it just balances out so well. The sweetness from the banana. It works. One. It does. Yeah. Is there any cuisines that you guys don't like?
Probably not, you know.
No. I like most food. I just have to be careful because I'm allergic to a lot of things.
What's your most favorite allergy like that stops you from having enough stuff?
First episode. I think it's the abstract ones. So I have the usual ones like nuts and sesame. Eggs a weird one. It's like I can't have it by itself, but I can have it in cakes. The things that you wouldn't expect are cocoa. So I can't have anything with chocolate in. And surprisingly, you'll find cocoa in random things. It was in a pie pastry one time, and I had an allergic reaction to like a meat pie. That was so weird. Coconut, which is surprising because I'm Jamaican.
Okay, so I'm guessing Bounty is written off then, since it's chocolate and coconut, which I don't even think you should be having anyway.
From Bounties. Like, there's people out there that like them.
I just find it majority coconut flakes. Like, I don't see why it's part of the chocolate debate at all. Like, it's literally just coated.
Coated in chocolate. It's chocolate.
No, I don't see where it fits in with the rest of the celebrations, personally.
I'm just an innocent bystander and can't relate.
I think we were speaking about cuisines that we don't like, and I'm always really quick to jump with this one. I don't like anything Chinese food related. I can't understand the flavors. I just don't like them.
You don't understand the flavors.
That's interesting.
I like it. I'm a bit mystical, but I just have to, like, it always makes me feel good getting out of my chest. Wait,
do you feel better now?
What about like Japanese?
Pretty much all Oriental food.
I just have to be careful with the sesame, but otherwise I like the flavor.
Like, even the concept of sweet and sour chicken angers me.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. But you just said it angers you.
That's fine. Anyway.
It angers Pardon? You, and you just talked about your Somali sweet banana.
But that's what I said. Listen, okay, you can't. That's different. I told you, I don't usually like when flavors mix, but this one, it balances out, whereas I think the other two are just more of a strong contrast. I know what I'm speaking about.
So you're
about,
not sweet and salted type popcorn? You just want all the other?
No. No, I don't. First of all, popcorn shouldn't be sweet. Oh. It should only be sweet.
Hang on. You're making some bold claims.
No, but seriously, I feel like maybe people have too much of a sweet tooth, because popcorn being salted is just, I don't know, it just makes so much more sense. I can finish a bag of salted popcorn, but I can only have like a quarter of that if it was sweet.
Well, that's an interesting viewpoint.
I think it's just part of adulthood. You just get over having childish things.
I'm definitely a mixed type. I like the best of both.
Okay, I think we're starting to wrestle some feathers.
Yeah,
should we move on? So guys, what would you say your experiences have been like as BAME students so far?
Generally, I would say, in my opinion, that I've had a really good student experience, but I think what's so great about this program in particular is that it's kind of making a bit more space for BAME students, because I've noticed, I've been at uni going on 5 years, I've never had lecturer or tutor.
No, I hear that. It's the same here, actually. I think it's weird what you can do just walking into a room and seeing that your tutor is not, you know, looks a bit more like you. You wouldn't think it would have as much of an effect as it does have. You just feel a lot more you know, I think the term I'm looking for is you know that imposter syndrome that people speak of. I think it hit me the most when I entered uni, because before that I think everyone else is just in the same boat, but when you enter uni it's a lot more like individual trying to find their place in a big institution, so it's a lot easier to feel like you're not meant to be there. I definitely still, I'm about to graduate this year, And I still have these odd days where I'm just like, this course isn't for you. You're not meant to be here. You're not like anyone else here. But not in the sense that I feel like I don't deserve it. You just naturally just don't feel like you fit in. I just feel like I slip through the fence somehow because I don't relate to anyone around me. But yeah, no, discussions like this definitely do help me. Yeah. Just knowing that other people feel the same way and stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely a really hard thing. Our industry is very much like that. I've been fortunate enough to have, well, a few friends on my course that are like me, because I know a lot of people, especially studying architecture, they won't have that same experience. So I've been quite fortunate. Even my partner now, who I'm doing my design project with, she is Kenyan. I was like, what are the odds that we're in the same atelier and then also going to be in a group together? And just the fact that that's the thing we think about. It is, yeah, you wouldn't, it's not like you don't want it to be a big thing, but you don't realise the impact that it can have.
I was going to say, I think you subconsciously like filter yourself a little bit when you're in a room full of people who don't look anything like you. It's not that you're purposefully thinking, oh, if I'm my full self, then they're gonna think I'm weird. But it's just you naturally want to be as quiet as possible, if that makes sense. And you just focus on, okay, I'm here to get my work done and leave. It's not a... I don't know, it's just, it doesn't feel as accepting of the environment as if you were to look around and see people who were very diverse.
That you kind of want to see a variety of people.
Yeah, that way you're not going to be as focused on the fact that you stick out.
I think I know I was pretty lucky with my undergrad. As much as there wasn't necessarily a lot of BAME students, there were a lot of international students, which kind of helped in a way, not fill the gap, but at least there was a little bit more culture or experiencing different cultures. There was just never any representation from the academic side of things. And it was kind of frustrating to
see. Yeah, no, I don't blame you.
Yeah, definitely. I think I had, in my undergrad, we had a black female tutor, which was a big thing to us. I think she came in second year, although she didn't teach me personally. It's like, oh, wow, there are actually people in this field that look like us. And I think that's what it is. You want to see someone there, and it gives you kind of that feeling that maybe I can get there too.
Yeah,
I guess it's this idea of role models, and yeah, I feel like you like to be able to see someone like you.
Yeah,
no, it's one of those things you don't realize you crave it until you get it, and you're just like, well, it's a weird thing because I don't go into a room and hope to see someone like me, but I'm naturally more comfortable when I'm not the only one. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things you're always going to be aware of, like, oh, I'm the only girl who's black, who's got a headscarf on, who's like, these things do, you do think about them.
I think
them.
It's because you can relate in certain ways with people of a similar culture to you than those who aren't. So I feel like obviously you can get on with everyone if you choose to do so, but there's certain things that you automatically just connect on solely because of sharing the same culture.
Yeah, no, 100%. I don't think making friends on a course should be something that you force. So having to go into a room and seeing people who understand your background is going to be the first choice if you have that. Whereas if you don't have that, you're going to have to now get someone to understand your way of things, if that makes sense. Not to say that just because you're different background from someone, you're going to be completely different. But people just naturally fall into cliques. And have you noticed when, for my course anyway, a lot of the people who have the same interests and stuff tend to be of the same kind of background, and automatically the few BAME students that we did have in our year group ended up being a little group. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
Do you think in some ways that can be a bad thing? It's almost like we naturally kind of separate ourselves ourselves.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's more representation of the situation. Like, it kind of reflects the kind of environment that we have. Because if everyone was welcoming equally and everyone was equally understanding, then I don't think it would... I think it's just a reflection of the way these institutions are, I guess. Because I went to school and I had friends from all kinds of backgrounds, but that's because the environment in school is you're around these people so much, and after a while, like, it's more names. You're not looking at people as for anything more than who they are as one. But in uni, it's so much more fast-paced and spread out. You kind of just... You need a partner, so you're just gonna, if you see another black girl in the room, naturally gonna wanna see if she's got a partner. That makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, when you talk about school, you see that the friendship groups are a lot more diverse, or you can kind of go to everyone.
Anyone, yeah.
Literally, university is a different environment. That makes so much sense. Yeah. Okay, so we are going to move on and do some games actually. We thought it would be interesting to get to know us through a couple of games. And the first one we're going to be doing is Would You Rather? We always love a good Would You Rather. And we have some kind of culturally relevant topics. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed these. Right, number one.
So our first one is would you rather go into the past and meet your ancestors or go into the future and meet your great great grandchildren?
It is an impact.
I think this is an interesting
Now,
I think I'd go back and meet my aunt, to be honest. I think just
why is
because
that?
that's an opportunity.
Great great grandchildren, probably
You might.
not.
You
Probably
might.
not. Okay, but mathematics, that's a
No,
bit mad if you think about
that's what I was going
it.
to say though.
Great
It
great grandchildren maybe,
happens.
but great great,
Happens.
you're going to be like decaying.
It does happen. My great grandma knew her great great grandchildren. So that's why I'd also go into the past to meet my ancestors because more chance of
Yeah,
me living to meet my great great grandchildren.
but is that because back in the day, like our great grandparents had children very early, whereas we're like in our 20s, probably won't
I
have
think
children.
so, but we're also
Yeah.
living longer these days. Maybe
Yeah.
if it wasn't for
You
the
reckon you're
pandemic, but I don't know. I'd still go into the
you guys are a lot more hopeful than me. I feel like
past.
I'm gonna die
So what would
already.
you go for then?
No, I think I'll definitely go back and meet my ancestors over my great grandchildren. Simply because I feel like there's just so much more to be seen there. Like mainly because like we're diaspora and we grew up in a completely different society to our parents, or in some of your cases, your grandparents and stuff like that. So just seeing how they lived and how I could have potentially lived had we not migrated and stuff. I feel like there's a lot. It would be insightful. I'd want to see that.
Definitely. Yeah, should we move on?
Awesome.
So we've got, would you rather work more hours but fewer days or work fewer hours per day but more days? So this is kind of just more about you as a person, your work ethic.
Ooh.
I prefer more days, more hours, I mean, sorry. I'd rather work more hours per day but fewer days. That way I can just get it over and done with at one time and just focus on that and then use my other days for something else.
That sounds good. It sounds good, and that's why I would pick it. But then I also know that I get burnt out so easy. So then, say you had a 3-day weekend instead of a 2-day weekend. If you've been burning yourself out the previous days, are you not going to just be exhausted and want to just like chill for for your longer days
If you
off, if that
think
makes
about
sense? I'm still choosing the same one. I'm just trying to make you think a bit, because I know what I'm like. If I've been going like really in with my work for like a couple of days, I get burnt
but
out
then
and I just don't want to do
there's
anything.
more chance, I think, if you pick fewer hours, but more chance that you're going to end up just working longer on those days anyway. I think definitely more hours and less days.
Yeah, no, I'm still choosing that. I'm still choosing that, because I think I'll just that way maybe you could just force yourself, like plan things for the days off, so you just have to say you take like a quick city break holiday, whatever.
Yeah.
You could actually do that. You have the opportunity. Whereas I know if I have work one day, regardless of whether it's a short day or not, I'm just gonna lock it off and be like, okay, that's a work day. So yeah, no, I'm still sticking to it. Definitely the first one.
So do we all agree on that one then? Seems so.
I think so. That one's actually an easier one. All right, so next, would you rather have a rewind button or a pause button on your life?
This is a hard one.
So rewinding would mean you can change things, I'm guessing. You can not like the way something's turned out and you can rewind and try again. But pausing gives you more
I
time,
think
I
I'd go pause.
guess.
It's
I think
hard.
I'd go pause because as much as I'd like the idea of like rewinding, I think it would be better to just make a good moment last longer and then, move on to the next thing rather than keep going back.
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like with rewinding, you will never be satisfied. I feel like you'll keep on going back and then you realize something else has changed because you changed the past. And then it's like, when will you stop going back? You'll keep on. I don't know what's important to go back for. I know it's weird. I think I just prefer knowing that I can't go back and what's done is done. But at least it wasn't
No, I
as.
agree. I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Because you're going to end up obsessing over it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a
There
film on
definitely is.
this. I'm sure there's a film on this. Is it an Adam Sandler? And he had, yes, Adam Sandler, he did a film and he had a remote control.
I don't remember the name.
All I can think of is Groundhog Day, and it's not that film.
No, definitely not that. It was a film, and he ended up messing up his own life because he kept going back and trying to fix. I don't know if he had all the buttons. I don't want to misquote the film. I don't know if he just had a rewind one or not, but basically the ability to go back in time doesn't ever end up good.
Is it called Click? Hollywood show.
It is called Click, yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point. You'll constantly be living in the past instead of concentrating on the future and your life.
And I think changing it will affect your future in ways that you probably didn't want it to.
Definitely.
There's like a domino effect with most things in life. Like, you might hate one event so much, but had that not happened, you wouldn't be the person you are today, kind of thing.
I didn't mean to get all deep.
I apologize. Okay, let's move on to the last would you rather. This was a bit more a bit less serious, shall I say. Would you rather listen to 90s or early 2000s music for the rest of your life?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm guessing it's R&B focused.
This is a hard one because both eras have very great artists.
I don't know. I just felt like the 90s was just a very unique vibe because
The 90s just set the tone for so many other like new genres of music as well. And it's still so relevant now. Like, people still listening to early 2000s as well. So it's kind of hard, but.
Yeah, I'm going to have to second that.
I was thinking that now that you've just said that. Because it's definitely something that a lot of people are still trying to imitate the sound of.
Okay, so on to our next game. We're going to be playing Who Am I with Tamara. So she's going to be in the hot seat. And we don't know who she's got in mind, but we have to ask her questions and figure it out, hopefully. Okay.
It's just yes and no questions, right?
Is it? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We don't even know the rules. Is it yes or no only? I think we should keep it that way. That's too easy. Are they dead?
No.
Are they musicians?
Yes. Not only a musician.
Oh, multi-talented. Okay.
I get so competitive with these things.
Yes.
Are they also actors?
Oh, certainly are, yeah.
Are they above the age of 40?
Yeah, I think they are. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Would you like a clue?
A hip-hop artist, but would you like a clue? Pardon?
Please.
They're part. He's part.
I think Bethany is here. Go on, give us a clue. Family
in America.
Oh.
That should make it easier, but now I'm just.
Yeah, I thought of someone, but I didn't. Yeah. So it's definitely not him. Oh my gosh! Angry. Wait, does he have 3 kids?
Yes.
Yay, I got it.
It is Will Smith.
I think it's Will Smith.
No way. I can't move away from Will Smith because I'm thinking, yeah, he was a musician, but no one really cares about his music. Like, he's just an actor in everyone's eyes.
No, but it is. That makes more sense. That's like top of my list to meet in life.
Yeah, no, he's a personality. Oh, in that case, I've got a question for you guys. I find this hopefully can help in getting to know more about you and stuff. If you could have dinner and invite 5 people, dead or alive, who are you inviting to the table?
You should go first. This is
Who's you? Speak to me. Oh, I'm trying to get a range of everyone, but I feel like I'd choose majority dead people simply because, I don't know, people are just so much more cooler when they're dead, aren't they? A lot of them. really respect people when they're dead, when they died. Malcolm X would have to be there. He'd have to be there.
Yeah,
and Biggie Smalls. I don't know what them two would discuss, but they'd both have to be there. Denzel Washington.
Ooh.
Is that one of my favorite actors? And I just feel like he's got. I feel like we could discuss quite a lot. I just find him interesting as a person. Oh, you need a bit of comedy there now.
It's a very tense table.
I'm trying to think of a comedian that I like. Bernie Mac, since he's dead too. I'll add him in there.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at the dead people part. That's not funny, but
it's not.
All alive.
And then they're all no. I've literally mentioned only Denzel's alive out of what I've mentioned so far, and I need to fill it. I need to fill it up. I've got one space left, and I'll give it to J. Cole. He's alive. He's my favorite alive.
I think
I'll go for, yeah, that's my table.
Interesting.
J. Cole's at mine as well.
Very black male oriented, I can tell. Is he? All right, you go next into
Will Smith.
J. Cole, Will Smith.
I've got about like seven other people, but her, the singer, I'm like obsessed with her. And then I'm kind of stuck because I love Rihanna, but I think I'd just be intimidated by her.
She seems like good fun.
It's like kind of controversial at times. But Kevin Hart, I think he'd be really funny alongside Will Smith.
Yeah, Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mine is such a random bunch of people. I couldn't think of normal people like Will Smith for some reason. My brain just had a block. But anyway, so the first person on my list was Jesus. I just talked to him because I'm a Christian. I find it so interesting. Second on my list, I thought Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
She's very influential. I think we'd have good conversations and she'll probably motivate me to do well in life. Next is Jacob Collier. His mind is just so insane. He's a super talented musician, singer, just everything. And he just blows my mind. He's just so talented. He plays like every instrument on the planet. So I'll just like to pick his brain and probably get some tips from him. And then maybe someone like Usain Bolt. Because I used to love sprinting, so he would just be really cool to meet. And then my final one, I thought I'd have a banter person. Have you seen the Terrell show on YouTube?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Oh my gosh, guys, you should watch his channel. Like, he's just such a funny character, but he interviews like every music artist, so many singers, well-known, upcoming, people with beautiful voices. But he's just such a character, and I'll just get on with him so well. I think he'll just be hilarious. So yeah, that's my five.
Your table just told mine and Tamara's table that we lack range. I feel like doing mine again, but
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I can't think of anyone.
No, all the tables are good, but they were interesting. Yeah. I think Tamara's was very like music based, and ours. You still had a mix.
Do you know what? I think I did. Do you know what made me feel like they're all just black men? Because I've got a bit of actors, musicians, Malcolm X, what's he like? A
civil rights activist.
Yeah, activist. Yeah, exactly. So maybe I do have a bit of range. Yeah,
I take that back.
Mine's got a decent.
It's mine that lacks range, but you know what? I'm looking at it and I'm going to stick to it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you stick to yours. I wouldn't mind a conversation. Yeah. With Will Smith and her.
Same. I'd be happy to come to your table.
Yeah.
But yeah. That was our last game. Well, it wasn't a game. That was our last topic.
Our last question.
That's interesting, though.
Aww.
I like that you put Jesus at your table.
I think you could learn so much from him and ask him so many
questions.
We're
trying to have a good time, and she keeps talking about learning so much. She's making us look bad.
But I had Terrell on there for banter purposes. Michelle Obama seems fun. Jacob Collier, he's going to teach you so much on music. So that's fun in itself, the fact that I'll just be watching this guy.
Do you play any?
A couple? Yeah.
Just being humble.
No, it's only a few. I played the piano, guitar, and the drums.
Just those three? Just those
three. But I'd love to learn the violin. That's my next instrument to learn, hopefully.
And the violin looks so... That's probably... If I had to choose one, I mean, I'm not musically gifted in any way, but if I had to choose one, I think... Looks so wavy. He just looks. No one could catch him if I could play violin into every room with like a little taster before I sit down.
That's so funny.
Yeah, this has been fun. So, guys, before our podcast comes to an end, we'd like to update you on our upcoming episodes. Our next series to look out for is called Breaking Stereotypes, where we aim to break down common misconceptions of different ethnic groups and share the real truths surrounding them through our guest speakers. Some of the examples of these stereotypes include the angry black woman, oppression of women in Islam, and even passive Asian boys, as well as absent black fathers, and many more.
Also be including a segment in each of our episodes called The Culture Plug. We're basically going to be offering recommendations on what we found interesting throughout the week. It can be anything from like art, music, and movies, books, basically anything that we've taken an interest in, and of course they'll be BAME related. So make sure you keep an eye out for all these episodes because they're going to be released really soon.
Thank you all so much for listening today. We are so excited about this podcast and look forward to you guys getting to know us more through our upcoming episodes. Please don't forget to leave us some feedback and give us a follow on our Instagram page at BAMEMMU for updates, support and great content. This has been Shades of Tea. See you guys soon.